Man, thanks for being at Life Point Church today. This church that our third week in this movie theater after, in all practicality, being launched out of our building. We didn't know that. We were seeing the signs on the wall, and man, God confirmed it with basically us going to be kicked out, and now we are here, and it's awesome. And I thank you for coming here cold, making your way to this theater, man, bringing your kids, trusting us with those, and I'm so thankful for you today. We're in this series called Putting the Pieces Together, Perfect Analogy. And it's not that maybe some of the pieces you already know about and need to know how they fit together. Some people, they don't even know the pieces, and we're putting those together as we discover them. And I want you to know there's no expiration date on learning or discovering truth, that God is just pleased that you're trying to do that, and I'm so thankful that you're about that. The Bible was written to be timeless. Now, the timeless nature of the Bible is not about the culture, because you know the Bible's dated. It was written in times and seasons, but the timelessness is about its truthfulness and the principles being applicable through any season or any person or any culture at any time in history. That's the amazing part. And honestly, if you're like me, the toughest piece of the Bible for me is not discovery, because we can, if we really want to know something, we can discover truth. We can get on podcasts and we can read books and we can download books onto our iPad or our Nooks or whatever the case may be, but it's not necessarily that's the toughest piece. Application for me is the tough piece when it comes to discovering things in the Bible. And what we're going to look at today is really awesome. With most relationship principles in the Bible, they're broad enough in their scope. And when they're not, God's like, when he wants to be specific, he's like, all right, this is to fathers, this is to parents, this is to people that are married or whatever the case may be. But most of them are written with a really broad idea in mind so that you can apply them any place in your life. So you can apply them to your wife, with your wife, your husband, your kids, your friends, your coworkers, people you want to punch in the face. I mean, it's applicable, and this is one of those things. Today, what we're gonna look at is one of those amazing things that has different angles, different pieces to it. It's one of those things that empowers us. It's written to parents. It's written to guardians specifically. It's written to employers, the opposite, dealing with the opposite sex. It's written from a relational standpoint. It's a game changer when utilized. It has been horribly abused. Can I tell you that? It's been horribly abused by government, by churches, by culture, by people in relationships trying to be abusive. But when it is used effectively, it rescues a marriage. It establishes business opportunities. It opens doors that you'll never be able to comprehend that are closed. I mean, it is a deal breaker professionally, personally, privately. What in the world, and it's one word, what in the world could this word be? Let me give it to you right now out of the gate. You ready for this? It's the word honor. You're thinking, Jay, I got out of bed on the coldest Sunday of the year and brought my kids here for you to give me a word called honor. At least give me an equation for solving world conflict. At least give me, if it's going to be the one word, give me love. What in the world, what do we do with honor? Some of you are already throwing flags up because under the guise of honor, you were abused or you were held down or you were held back. Some of us have relegated this word to military use or kind of like brotherhood, sisterhood in a fraternity or a sorority. And it's okay that we use it that way, but this thing is a deal breaker, a game changer in everyday life. Before we look at this, though, you're going to be blown away at how simple it is and how effective it is. This has been a game changer for me in my marriage and my professional life personally. Before we look at it, though, you have to know this about God. God always begins with the spiritual, and then he kind of works out from there. He always begins with the spiritual. Take anything you want to take, dating. We will begin with the hotness, or in my case, the notness. Jamie's got a good personality. You ought to think about going out with him, okay? We begin with the hotness or the notness, if you're like me. God begins with spiritual compatibility, just even in dating. And maybe this will help you get a little more traction with it if you're trying to avoid dating or you're already married or whatever the case may be. God created us in a relationship with him first. The first relationship was a spiritual relationship. It was a relationship that God created between himself and us when he created Adam. And then he created Eve from Adam. Pause for the multiple jokes that we won't go over today for lack of time. After, you know, the pain in the side or whatever the case may be. But in this creation, this perfect relationship, God had this awesome thing going. We had this awesome thing going. And then man decides, you know what? I really want to be in control. I know more than God. God is holding out on me. And so they messed up and disobeyed. They sinned. But God loved us so much. He said, listen, I don't want this broken relationship with people. I'm going to reestablish this thing. And so he comes to earth. He shows us what God looks like if God were living our everyday lives, but in Jesus Christ, because he was God and is God. And he did this amazing thing. He died on the cross. I mean, if stepping into our story wasn't enough, he died on the cross and he rose again so that you and I could have a relationship with God personally. And if you're here today and you say, Jay, what is the Bible all about? The Bible is all about a relationship that God wanted that was broken, that Jesus died and rose again to reestablish. And if you are in your life, no matter where you are, doesn't matter religious background, and that thing hits home with you and the lights come on, and you say, Jesus, I know that I need you. I know I'm a sinner. I mean, does anybody not know that? I know that about myself. You know that about yourself. God, I need you. I realize you died and rose again for me, and I believe that, and I'm asking you into my life. At that moment, we establish or reestablish the connection that God always wanted for us. But here's the cool thing. When God begins with the spiritual and begins with Jesus, he also shows us how to live. He shows us how to connect. He shows us how to forgive. He shows us how to lead. He modeled for us what the most important things in the world were. I mean, he finalized the sin payment, and he rose again, and he got out of here, and he established the church through the apostles, wrote the Bible through apostles and other men, and we stand here today, and we have this awesome example of Jesus. But Jesus is always a reminder that God begins with the spiritual. So today we're going to look in honor. And God doesn't begin, it's awesome, our awesome military and our awesome services, but God doesn't begin with military. God doesn't begin with how it's been abused. God begins with the spiritual. He begins with that thing that we can't see that he wants with us, this connection. So if you're a non-follower of Jesus Christ, you can become a follower of Jesus today. We're going to give you a chance to do that without embarrassment or fear. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you, by his help, by his Holy Spirit, can begin to apply what we're going to look at today. It's going to be a game changer. I mean, God starts with the spiritual, even with honor. I'm talking about fitness. I'm talking about relationships. We're talking job. We're talking opportunities, parenting. This is where God begins. He doesn't begin with feelings. He doesn't begin with setbacks. He begins with himself and his desire to be connected to you. Let's look at a couple verses today. I want you to look at Romans 12. We're only going to look at one verse out of this chapter, but you absolutely can go back and read it for yourselves. It's an awesome list of things to apply in your life. You ready for this? Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. The same dude that wrote this expounds it a little further in Philippians 2. Check this out with me. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress the others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out for your own interests, but take an interest in others also. This is where God begins to expound the word honor. And I want to give you a thought today of honor and action. I want to take this biblical principle, and I want us to do what Jesus did. Jesus would take these complex thoughts and he would make them really simple where you could apply them in everyday life. I love that. That's one of the things that personally attracted me to Jesus Christ. Because spiritual things are always presented as this thing that for an elite few, or you'll never get it, or you're not one of those guys. And by that standard, I mean, if you looked at the way I grew up and where I come from, I should not be the guy standing here today. It should be someone else. But God's amazing grace, that desire to be connected with me, just like he wants to be connected to you, you know, was presented to me. And I believed on Christ and began to see that the Bible is workable. It's applicable. And I want to show you this honor in action. Let me give you this. Two, they're kind of one and the same. They're kind of like A and B. You ready for this? Honor, when we honor someone, this is what we're really saying. I give you permission to be you. I give you permission to be you. And it also, it's kind of like A and B. It's kind of like 1A, 1B. I give God permission to work in you and through you. I give you permission to be you. You don't have to be something you're not. You don't have to be outgoing if you're really an introvert. You don't have to act like you're super studious if you're a person who loves working your hands. When we honor someone, we say, listen, I'm giving you permission to be you. And on top of that, we say, listen, I'm also giving God permission to work in you and through you. Rather than gripe at you, rather than nag at you, rather than try to control you, rather than try to manipulate you, I'm going to give God permission to work in you and through you. Can you imagine if two people lived this? I mean, if two people said, listen, I'm not going to ask you to be like me. I'm not going to try to nag you into doing what I want you to do. I'm going to honor you. Can you imagine if two people said, listen, we realize with this statement that honor, being honorable is not being a doormat. Honor is not having, is not never having an opinion. Honor is being myself and letting God work in me and through me. I mean, can you imagine if two people or if a church or if a business said, honor does not have to be like me, or I get out of the situation. See, when you honor someone, you don't come in and say, if you can't just know what I want from you, and if you can't be like me, then I'm going to leave, or you need to leave. That's not honor. Honor says, I give you permission to be you, and I give God permission to work in you and through you. This is so countercultural. The world, our culture, I grew up this way anyways, teaches self-reliance. You have to make it happen. You have to be the one. It all falls on you. I mean, you're in control. You're in charge. You're the center of the universe. And what that produces is what we see constantly from the beginning, that philosophy produces codependence. And what that says is, my well-being is dependent on if you're happy with me or if you're okay with me. If you aren't okay, then I have to try to make you okay with me. That is so exhausting. Some of you live that life. I've lived in that spot in relationships. It's the most horrible existence. But it starts with that I'm the center of the universe. And this is all about me being self-reliant. The Bible teaches Christ reliance. The Bible teaches we can't do it. The Bible teaches, how many of you have ever heard this? Let me get the statement right. How many of you ever heard this? God helps those who help themselves. How many of you ever heard that? That's the biggest crock of crap, and there's nowhere to be found in the scriptures. Here is the principle. God helps those who can't help themselves. So you may be physically capable, you may be smart enough to run your own business, but you can't forgive your own sins. You can't make your marriage work when there's differences, but God can. See, the world teaches self-reliance. It teaches codependence. God says, I want you to be Christ-reliant. And I want you to be interdependent. Interdependent says, listen, you're trusting God for what you don't have. I'm trusting God for what I don't have. We come together and meet needs in each other's lives that we can meet. We come together and we seek God together. And we experience God together. We get in a small group together. We reach our friends together. That's interdependence. God smiles on that. And it all begins with a healthy trust of Jesus Christ. I mean, it's so countercultural when we talk about honor. Not loving someone but because they deserved it or demanded it. Or we don't honor them because they deserve it or demand it. That's what we're saying today. We're saying, I'm going to place value on you. I'm going to let you be you. And I'm going to let God work in you and through you. When we honor, we give someone else grace for God to work in their lives like yours, mine. We say, God, I want you to do this and this and this. I want you to judge me on my intentions. I want you to see my heart. I want you to help me with the weak areas. And then we look at other people and say, they can't, they shouldn't, they didn't, they wouldn't. See, when you're honoring someone, you know that's the tendency. But you say, I'm going to give the grace that I need. I'm going to give you the love that I hope that I get back, but I'm going to give it whether I do or not. We don't try to change them or fix them. When you honor someone, you believe them and you serve them. When two people honor one another, they can talk about unmet needs. It's not that you have to ignore anything. When two people really honor each other, you can talk about anything up to what the relationship allows. Up until, you know, like husbands and wives shouldn't be talking to other husbands. You know, a wife shouldn't be talking to someone else other than her husband about her needs. It should be her husband. So there's a propriety issue there. But when you have, let's just take a marriage. When you have a person that says, I'm going to honor you. I'm going to let you be you, and I'm going to let God speak to you and move in you. And they say, I'm going to let you be you, and I'm going to let God speak to you and move through you and in you. Those people can come together and talk about unmet needs and what's uncomfortable in their relationship, what's not working, or things that are missing because they're honoring one another. When people honor, they'll model getting the help they say the other person needs. Well, our marriage would be a lot better. Our friendship would be a lot better if they would go to counseling. See, when we honor someone, we say, I'm going to go to counseling. Even if I don't feel like I'm in the wrong, I'm going to model this because I'm going to honor them. When you honor someone, you ask questions rather than accuse. You know, you begin to think in your mind. You begin to fixate on one little thing. Then you begin to fan that flame of insecurity or defensiveness or fear or rejection or whatever it's triggering in you, and you paint, and by the time you get to that person, you unload on them. You push them away. You blow a cold wind of rejection their way. When we honor, we say, listen, I'm going to ask questions rather than accuse. I'm going to meet needs rather than hold them hostage. Until they do what I want, I'm not going to fill in the blank. I'm not going to be with them. I'm not going to love them. I'm not going to show my affection. I'm not going to do my job. I'm not going to tithe. I'm not going to serve in a church setting. I'm not going to give. I'm not going to be a part of this. And because I'm going to hold hostage. But honor says, listen, I'm going to meet needs rather than hold hostage. You give permission rather than hold prisoner. You don't say, until they do, I'm not going to. You say, listen, I'm going to honor you. I'm going to give you permission to be right where you're at, struggling with what you're struggling with. And I'm not going to hold you hostage with that. I'm not going to make you a prisoner of that. See, honor expects differences rather than living defensive. The reason that you're with someone in marriage that's opposite of you, the reason the opposite attracts, is because God loves difference. God wants you to bond. He wants you to be different. He wants you to be connected and have different likes and come together and under his love and grace and honor him. See, honor expects that. Self-reliance, self-centeredness, codependent, it gets defensive. What I want you to know, that honor is not blind to wrongs. Doesn't mean you have to overlook things. Honor doesn't overlook sinful patterns or destructive behaviors. Well, Jamie said, you know, you have to honor me, so I'm going to go sleep with who I want, or I'm going to go keep feeding this addiction rather than get the help I need. Jamie said, you got to honor me, so I'm not going to go to church with you anymore, honey, because you need to quit nagging me, or you need to quit trying to fix me, and you need to honor me. See, that's not honor, because two people that are honorable can talk about those. Honor doesn't overlook sinful patterns or destructive behaviors. Honestly, honorable people deal with things quickly. You have two people honoring one another, they deal with issues. They deal with problems. They realize they're not the center of the universe. They realize they need help. And rather than be defensive, when two people are honoring, they say, listen, I need you to meet these needs in my life. I need this from you. And then as you mature in a relationship, you'll begin to ask that of one another. What can I do to meet your needs? What's missing in our relationship for you? And when you're defensive, when you're not honoring, you blow up and you're just like your mom and you're just like your dad. But when you're honoring, you're giving someone permission to be themselves. You're giving God permission to work in and through their lives. Honor isn't permissible. Well, as long as it doesn't hurt anybody, as long as the kids don't find out, as long as no one else knows, honor's not permissible. Honor places value on the relationship. Honor simply says, I give you permission to be you. And I give God permission to work in and through your life. It's the model of Jesus. God says, I give you permission to be where you're at. I give you permission to have needs. I give you permission to struggle. I give you permission not to be perfect in this life. I give you permission to need. I give you permission. But I want you to turn to me. This is Jesus talking to us. I want you to turn to me for your needs. I want you to let me work through you. Let me work in you. When necessary, let me work on your life. And we'll do it together. And you can experience my love at a greater level. What would happen today? Just for real. Every relationship you have, the work relationship, the friendships, your friendships that have become so codependent, there's absolutely no honor in it. What if you just said today, I'm going to honor you? And they're going to be like, what? I'm going to honor you. What do you mean by that? Now, maybe you're both here today, and you know what it means. I'm going to give you permission to be you. I'm going to give you permission to not have it all together. I'm going to give you permission to not be able to read my mind, which is about 50% of the married couples I get to meet with. They think the other person should read their minds because they're intimate and always together. I'm going to give you permission to be you. And I'm going to give God permission to work in you and through you. I'm not going to try to gripe you. I'm not going to try to manipulate you. I'm not going to blow up with my big bad temper and control you. I'm going to let God work in your life. I'm going to honor you. What if we did that? What if we as a church did that? We are in a pivotal spot, Life Point people. And if Life Point's your home, or you're going to make it your home, or you're making it your home, you're in on this too. What if we just decide to honor each other? What if we let each other just be different? You like different music style than I do. You like different clothes than I do. You have a different relational pattern than I do. But what if you look at me and say, Jamie is not perfect, but I'm going to honor him. I'm going to let him be himself. And I'm going to let God work in and through him. And what if I look at you, and what if I look at your family and say, man, they should, what if I don't say, they should know better? What if I just stop saying that? So that's my brother, my sister. God, that's somebody that you love, and I'm going to just let them be where they're at. I'm going to let them have their own personality and their own likes and their own sense of humor. I'm going to let you work in and through them. Let me tell you something. It won't be long before this place is packed. And people are discovering Jesus Christ like never before. Because that kind of honor is addictive. That kind of honor is so foreign to everything that we're taught. People long for it and they don't even know what they're longing for. But we found it in the Bible. Now let's go apply it in our lives. Let's pray together. Can we do that? We're here today. You're here today. I'm here today. And I wonder, because I don't know. I can't look in your heart. There's like no halos above the people that are saved. And there's no like pentagrams above people that aren't saved or whatever. There's no like signs or whatever. I don't know your heart's condition. So I give this opportunity every week. You say, Jay, when should I take advantage of it? The moment that you realize Jesus died and rose again for you is the moment to invite Christ into your life. And I wonder if God's flipped the switch on you today. He's flipped the switch on your spirit. And you don't know Jesus, but you know you need to invite him in your life. I want to give you an opportunity to do that. You say, Jay, I don't even know how to do it. If you will believe in Jesus died and rose again for you, ask him into your life. Call on him to be your Savior. God says he'll become part of your life. You'll be his and he'll be yours. And start this amazing relationship of honor and love and power and grace. If that's you, say this to him right now with our heads bowed, just right where you're seated. Jesus, I believe you died for me. I believe you rose again for me. And I invite you into my heart and my life to be my Savior and my God. In your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. With our heads bowed, if you accepted Christ, so proud of you, so grateful that God moved in your life today. Just mark that on your card before you drop your communication card in the offering so we can rejoice with you. Grab a Bible on the way out. Say, begin to read the book of John until you continue discipleship classes. Jump in the book of John. I wonder if you're here today too, though, as a Christ follower. You say, I'm going to begin to honor. And there's going to be a lot of pushback because this isn't a cultural norm and you need God's help to do it. But God will help you do it. But I want to begin your commitment to that and your desire to that and to want that and to begin to practice that baby steps today. I'm going to pray for you as you do. And I'm so proud of you for taking that step. It is such an amazing, awesome step to take a step of faith to honor. And I got to be honest with you. I told my wife doing this message before I pray for you that I learned this from her more than anybody. That this principle, I've watched her model in and out, good times and bad. And it has changed our life. And it's become so addictive to me that I want to reciprocate it. Not only with her, but with other people. Maybe you're here today, you want to begin to honor. Give people permission to be where they're at, to be them. And to let God work in and through them and quit trying to control them and manipulate them and dictate them. You know, just to meet your needs, dictate what they do. Father, bless my friends as they commit to honor. Bless everyone here today, guests, regulars, members, attenders. Father, thank you so much for them. I bless them and their families. I pray that they would honor one another. I bless them in their workplaces. They begin to honor one another. Father, there's going to be pushback, so give them grace. Give them peace and let them know you're on their team, that you believe in them. I thank you so much for them in Jesus' name. Try to rule the world.